Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Rumors spreading around in that Texas town. About the shack outside again. And you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know if you wanna go to that home out on the range. They got a lot of nice girls.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Dave with Redneckinize Radio. Appreciate everybody joining us along here. It's Friday. It's December 16th, and it's still 2022. We got 2 weeks left of December, and Christmas is next week. So tomorrow is Saturday, and that will be 7 days from Christmas Eve. So, truck drivers, you got, you know, this weekend running, and then you're going to, I mean, in my personal opinion, you probably want to start, you know, trying to head home. That's what it is, you know, you're thinking about, okay, pull this load, then get a load home or whatever, you know. It's whatever you got going on and making sure you're heading that way. Some people like to get home a couple days early, you know, like take a couple weeks off, maybe take a whole week off, get back out maybe just like Monday or Tuesday or right after Christmas. Leading up to Christmas is always the most fun. The day after, everybody's kind of like, okay, I'm done. You know, get back to work. You know, so here we're live here. It's Friday. It's Redneckinize Radio. You check us out at redneckinize.com. And we're just all things trucking and then some. Appreciate everybody joining along. And don't forget to thank one of our sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app. You can download that app from your app store. That's where you can track freight, book freight. You can also plan your route, maintenance, truck stops, fuel, hotels, all kinds of stuff. So check it out, Trucking Tools, the Trucker Tools app. And I don't know. What we saw here, we had some stuff going on, and that is there's a commenting period going on right now because they got a regulation change. They're thinking about changing the applicability of emergency exemptions. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to, instead of just saying, okay, there's an exemption. Right now, I guess the rule is when they declare an exemption, then it basically just says the rule book don't apply. Knock yourself out. And then they're trusting everybody to follow the rules. Well, now what they're going to try to do is going to say, we can pick which rules you can break. And then we'll set that in the exemption declaration. And most of the time, it's just going to be hours of service, that kind of stuff. Because what the other rules, they have been they've been trying to say, don't break these other rules. And other rules are like, you know, driver qualifications, drug testing, all that stuff is people are, I guess, you know, taking advantage. And It's just, that's just the way it's been. That's the way it's been. It's, and so they're trying to change that where they can. And then if they do declare an emergency declaration, instead of just 30 days, they can control it up to 5 days, you know, that kind of thing, where it's not going to last a long time. And so there's a commenting period to go around. If you go to regulations.gov, and you'll see it on there. We shared it to our Facebook page, so, you know, that's something you can look at. And right now, let's see, three comments. I'm trying to think of, let's see. Okay, I see how it's going now. I was just trying to see what comment was the newest. It doesn't tell you any kind of date or anything. And this is from a transportation company, and this was on, like, Tuesday. Doesn't say what time. And that's the last time I checked, it was Tuesday. So it says it's from Powell Transportation Company, and it's a comment, and it says, "We transport utility poles and do a lot of work under emergency declarations, and I am not in favor of the proposed changes. Damage has to be assessed. Poles have to be located and produced at a mill and then transported to a disaster area. This can take well over 5 days, and depending on the dates and declarations of recovery work may not be covered. Hurricane Ian made landfall September 28th, and we worked through October 14th, taking poles to Florida to restore power. Sometimes the products have to, see, it says here, sometimes the products, it should say have to be, but it's have to be transported 1,000 miles or more after being produced, and limiting it to 5 days could create delay in recovery processes. We have spent 2 to 3 weeks on disaster recovery at times, and the 30-day exemption allows this work to take place. The hours of service change could cause drivers to be stuck sitting in a storm-damaged area with no facilities. It is much better for the driver the way it is now, so they can return home or to a safe haven after being relieved of a disaster work. I hope to see the rule remain as it is. It says being exempt and not limited to 5 days, with governors having the ability to manage this." And that makes good sense. You know, the only problem is I guess like the other rule comment that was made earlier is, you know, is it, when does the driver get to rest? You know, and who gets pushed and all that. And what they're saying is delay. And that's exactly why the rules were put in place for the driver. And really the rule, you know, if you take away the exemption during the process, that means that 1,000 miles need to be traveled. It might take longer. Well, I mean, I don't know how much. I mean, that's the other thing. What are you talking about? Okay? If it's 1,000 miles or more and it's got to go, okay, putting one driver in the truck, we all know it's going to be a team. Okay? And that means if there's a team, that means there's no delay. So having a second driver is not a big issue. It might be a big issue about you paying for it. So that might be an issue. If you put it on a solo truck, and that solo truck, well, now you can break the rules. You know, and then you might, and it might cost you a little more. You know, you might pay the driver a little more because, hey, we got to go, man. Let's go here. You know, here, take a couple of hundred, you know, whatever. But a team, you know, they're going to make their money. And it's going to cost you. But I don't see a problem with it transported. Transporting, the travel time is not that big of an issue. Now, you can't find a team. Well, you know what? You pay a team enough, and you'll find that team. We know that. So, yeah, that's not the issue. So the other issue that we're talking about is that a driver might be stuck in an area once they get there without facilities. Well, like I said, if it's a team, they can just go. They can just drop it and go. Okay, so that's not the issue. That's not the issue at all. You know, so So I can throw holes in that one because of putting it on. Just give it to a team. Just make sure that there's two drivers in the truck. Okay? If that costs you more money, oh well. You know, that's what the other comment was saying, that these companies, they take advantage. They pressure, you know, they say, hey, you go, you're just one driver, you go. And if you just put it, if you had two drivers in the truck, it wouldn't be an issue. You know. And I can see that you're probably having, you know, it's not a conventional, like what we're talking about, you know, it's not like trucking. You know, it might be a service truck or something like that that has to drive, and you have to take it long distance and all that stuff like that. And, hey, you know, those are the breaks because, you know, we see it all the time. You know, what was it like when in Yellowstone, only one guy was driving that truck. It was a horse trailer, and he was only driving because he was like, I'm the one that drives this truck, and he's always driving. And, you know, he was always up. But is he subject to hours of service? You know, technically, he wasn't. He should have been. You know, they get away with that not-for-hire stuff where it's just this is my truck, that's my ranch. You know, that kind of thing. But I think the American public out there doesn't really realize that there are several big trucks out there or commercial vehicles that are going up and down the highway that pull. You know, of course, and then the other thing, too, is who's subject to ELDs and who's not, you know, that kind of thing. So, and you see it, we see it, accidents, how many truck drivers see it all the time. How many big truck accidents do you see compared to how many, you know, gooseneck trailers and trailers pulling RVs and campers and stuff like that? How many of those accidents you see compared to big truck accidents? We see the pickup trucks pulling the campers accidents quite often. That's usually the most common accident is the pickup truck pulling the camper or pulling the trailer, whatever they're pulling. I saw just the other day, you know, off to the side, off in the ditch, you know, and you can tell it was wet weather and they just didn't know how to handle it and they were going too fast, you know. And I don't know if you've ever gotten that feeling, you know, when you're going down the highway and you're pulling the trailer with a pickup truck and everything starts shaking. And you don't have any control over it. You just got to let it shake it out. And what it is that you're going too fast, you know. And then when you jerk it, it puts it all out of whack. And it has to do with weight management and all that stuff like that. So, you know, it happens. So, yep. But this here. Proposed rule. It says FMCSA is proposing to narrow the scope of regulations from which relief is provided automatically for motor carriers providing direct assistance when emergency has been declared. Through the proposed changes, the agency would ensure that the relief granted through emergency declarations is appropriate and tailored to the specifics of the circumstances and emergency being addressed. The agency has proposed provisions to the process of extending an automatic emergency exemption where circumstances warrant. And what it is, I guess they just have no ability to modify the emergency declaration. It's either when you do it, it's a 30-day deal and you can't remove it. And of course, my contention is, why is there an exemption? If it's a rule based on safety, then why is it allowed to be exempted? Safety does not need any exemptions. That's just all I can tell you. So tell me what you think. 515-602-9731. Give us a holler. Like I said, this is Redneck and I's Radio, redneckandi's.com. And, oh, yeah, that's a good one. There we go. So, yeah, just give us a holler. 515-602-9731. Go check us out, redneckandi's.com. We're also on YouTube Live right now. Appreciate everybody listening along on there. Cameras aren't working too well, so... So we got the screen up, but it's just a picture of the logo and everything. But we're working on the camera getting fixed. But like I said, check us out, redneckandi's.com. We're also, like I said, we're live streaming right now on the YouTube channel, YouTube Live. We appreciate everybody registering or subscribing to our YouTube channel. That's been a great success for us. We appreciate everybody doing that. Like I said, check us out. You can get all the links to that at redneckandeyes.com. So give us a holler. Tell what you think. Proposed rule change, emergency declaration, modification. And that's what we're talking about. Redneck and Eyes Radio. We'll see you in a bit.
Sometimes late at night, I see your picture by the dashboard light. It takes me where I'd like to be, wrapped up in a blanket there, pulling ribbons from your hair and your kiss. Girl, that's what I miss. Till I drive these horses through the rain and snow, this high-speed rodeo is all I know. I'm in Nashville, cowboy, born to run underneath the stars. They don't mind me, my lonely heart. I just till I'm back in your arms again. I'll be out here on the wind, and I'll ride till I'm back in your arms again. I'll be out here on the wind. We'll be right back.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Moon coming up to the night, shining through the trees. Crickets are singing and lightning bugs are floating on the breeze. Baby, get ready. Across the field where the creek turns back by the old stumble road, I'm gonna take you to a special place that nobody knows. Baby, get ready. Ooh, ooh.
You and me go fishing in the dark, lying on our backs and counting the stars where the blue grass grows. Down by the river in the full moonlight, we'll be falling in love in the middle of the night, just moving slow.
The whole night through, feels so good to be with you. Spring is almost over and the summer's come and the days are getting long. I waited all winter for the time to be right just to take you along. Baby, get ready. Don't matter if we sit forever and the fish don't bite. Jump in a river and cool ourselves from the heat of the night. Baby, get ready. Ooh.
You and me go fishing in the dark, lying on our backs and counting the stars where the cool grass grows.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and I Radio. Appreciate everybody following along, listening, and enjoying the conversation. Give us a holler, 515-602-9731. If you want to chime in, just hit 1, and you can, this is a call-in radio show, so let us know. And we got everything going on here. So, I was checking things out here, and the proposed rulemaking is not the only thing going on. This week we got actually there was a pretty interesting deal. There was a book that just got released by a scientist. Oh, excuse me. And it was pretty interesting. It's about the way the surveillance of the trucks is hurting safety and hurting the drivers. Talking about, you know, how we got all these technology to keep the drivers awake, but there's nothing to ensure the drivers are allowed to get their rest. And of course, you know, and let's just face it, I know, cause I've been behind the computer on the other end there talking to drivers on the phone. I've been driving myself a long time, and I know how it works. Sometimes you want to drive 15 hours in a day. Sometimes you don't even feel like driving two, you know, like that kind of thing. And I know how it feels sometimes. You can get up, have a good night's sleep, get up, get in the truck, get on down the road. 2 hours later, you feel sleepy. And there are certain things like that. But other than that, it's about just, you know, controlling things and just, you know, hey, stop, take a little break, get on down the road, and all that stuff. But, I mean, they're not even allowing for that anymore. You know, all they're doing is telling you to keep the truck moving, you know. And of course, when you in the orientations, they tell you, you know, things you need to do and stuff like that. But they have these bells and whistles, and you're not even allowed to. I mean, it's not even – I don't even understand sometimes the way it works, because my biggest beef with the lane departure warning is that if I'm on this interstate at 2 o'clock in the morning when there ain't nobody out there and I'm not allowed to let that truck get out of that lane one little bit. I mean, one little bit, you know. Fortunately, there is a button on there. You can shut it off, and it doesn't record every single time you go off. But, I mean, that's what it's doing. It's recording. The ECM is taking the data from the lane departure warning every time the warning goes off. If you've got any kind of Qualcomm system in the truck that's hooked to the company you're driving for, it'll if you do it too many times, like in a certain amount of time, like in the course of like, you know, 10 minutes, if that buzzer goes off so many times, then it automatically sends a report to the carrier that you drive for and lets them know, hey, you know, this happened and you need to take a look at it. And it doesn't even matter if anything bad. It's not even one of those things. It's funny to me because it's not like an instant alarm where somebody's going to call you and say, hey, you all right? Nothing like that. It just goes, it gets put in a little database, and then they review it. And they review it, and they want to know, you know, well, what was going on? Well, I mean, obviously the driver didn't wreck, so nothing was bad. You know, nobody's called and reported a crazy driver, you know, things like that. So, I mean, obviously everything came out all right. So, you know, no news is good news, we always say in the trucking industry. So obviously the driver was doing all right. It's just, you know, it happened, you know, and that's kind of, I don't want to say that stuff happens on the road and it's like, oh, well, but I mean, you know, you got to trust the driver that he made a good decision and what was going on. You know, the driver either corrected himself, got off the road, or the driver, you know, like I said, it wasn't nothing bad. You know, so what? If the lane, you know, like I said, at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I don't see any headlights around me at all. No headlights, no taillights, nothing. You know, and it's like sometimes you get to feel the road. Sometimes you see an obstacle. And that's the thing is that if you even sometimes when you turn your blinker on, it'll still go off. And even sometimes when you, and especially if you don't use your blinker. So if you change lanes without using your blinker, it goes off. So let's just say there's some debris in the road and you just kind of maneuver around it. It'll flash. Now, that's not enough to send a report, because all it's going to do is going to go off like three or four times. It needs to go off more than that in the course of a minute or two or whatever, you know, in order for it to really affect anything. And that's what's funny to me too, because if a driver really fell asleep, all you're going to do is you get that one warning and then boom, you know, I mean, it's like I said, the whole system. And again, too, if the alarm did get triggered where the lane departure warning went off several times and nobody working your dispatch office knows about it, it's a report that goes to their safety department. It's like, to me, shouldn't like the screen flash in front of the dispatcher working at night, and it's like, hey, check this truck. You know, I mean, maybe it does that. I don't know. Nobody's ever called. I mean, I remember when I first got into the truck and I didn't know I could shut it off. And I was driving at, you know, 1-2 o'clock in the morning. Like I said, the last thing I was worried about was that white line. You know, especially when if there was another vehicle around sometimes, You know, I might even hug that white line a little bit and give them some room, and the alarm will go off. It's like, hey, you're getting out of your lane. It's like, well, I mean, I'm giving them a little more room, you know, or maybe they're getting a little too close to me. So I get a little over, you know, trucks on my left, getting a little too close. I go to the right, things like that, you know, but stuff like, so, I mean, you know, I don't know what's happening to the system. I know it's happening out on the road. I don't know what the system's thinking, but you know, now you can just hit a button, it'll go off, and that way you ain't got to worry about the alarm going off or anything like that. It turns itself back on. It's not like I can shut it off and it's done. You know, one driver told me there's a way you could shut the alarms off, turn the alarms down. Instead of them being really loud, they'll be really low, and you can't hear them as loud. And I'm like, well, doesn't that defeat the purpose? Why would they allow? But again, shutting it off, you know, so. So yeah, there's ways drivers have figured out around, you know, the irritable sounds of the loud noises and everything. And then there's some lights that flash and all that, but those lights don't flash that often. It's only when the lights have flashed in front of me. In fact, me and another driver talked about this, where the lights flashed and the alarm sounded that I was, it said collision warning, front end collision warning. And it was because it was raining and we went under a bridge, and somehow the light I guess there was a moonlight or a street light bouncing off the wet road, and because of the bridge, you couldn't see that, you know, that reflection anymore. So it just assumed that there was nothing there, or there was something there blocking that reflection, or I don't know what it was, but it's just like same bridge every time, but it only do it for like a couple of seconds. One driver said it actually slammed the brakes on it. And there was nobody around, but the sensor got fooled, and it slammed on the brakes, and it wasn't like it wasn't that hard. It was. I mean, I've had the brakes slam in front of me, and the brakes have turned on automatically in front of me because I'm going down the road, and I'm coming up on some stop traffic, or there's slow traffic in front of me, and I guess I'm moving too fast, or. You know, whatever, for the computer to like it. The computer didn't like what I was doing, you know, and that happens too. Like, we'll be driving, getting into construction and lanes ending, and there's a good distance, and we're doing about 40 miles an hour, and there's a good distance between me and the truck in front of me, and another vehicle would cut me off, right? And they wouldn't be going that slow. You know, they'd be going with our speed. It's just that they're right in front of me, directly in front of me. And when that happens, the computer's like, you know, for that split second. And then, you know, you just back off. Cause I mean, the guy just got over, he's not going to slam on the brakes. He just got over real quick. And all you got to do is back off a little bit and let the truck roll and they'll go home, you know, stuff like that. But I mean, it's one of those things where I'm in control of the vehicle. The computer just doesn't like the circumstances and will throw an alarm or jam on the brakes, stuff like that. And I've had that happen where, like you said, you're getting into construction, getting down to one lane, you got some space in between you and the vehicle in front of you. Somebody cuts in front of you and gets into that empty space, and the truck doesn't like it. So the truck would beep, 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 beep. And a lot of times, you know, you didn't put your foot on the brake because the truck, the vehicle in front of you is not stopping. It's just directly in front of you. The truck didn't like it. The truck slammed on the brakes. And it was like, damn, you know, why? You know, I got it. Stop it. You know, but that's what they're creating, is they're creating, the trucks do the work and you just need to do what the truck tells you to do pretty much. But yep. Other things in the news, it's, you know, there's a slowdown coming. Freight's dropping. There's some stuff going on with the economy and all that kind of stuff. So just be prepared. And then there just came out, what was this, Wednesday on freightwaves.com. It says trucking braces for new heavy duty engine emission standards. The Biden administration will soon issue new tailpipe emission standards for trucks. The most truckers. And this is, you know, this is what, here, right here. New truck maintenance costs could sideline fleets, harm economy, and industry warrants. And it says the Biden administration will soon issue new tailpipe emission standards for the trucks that most truckers, from single owner operators to large fleets, warn could have heavy cost burdens onto the U.S. economy as the recession already looms. I mean, this is why the older trucks are more expensive now, because they're more desirable. The new trucks are just outrageously high-priced because of all the new technology that's got to be on them, but nobody wants them. But they cost that much to make, so they're not going to go down in price. But nobody wants them. What they want is an older truck with the pre-emission standards, because you can still operate the truck. And see, and that's what it is. What is in California, you can't even do that. You can't even own an old truck in California. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to implement that all across the country. And they're going to have these new standards pretty soon. Just be thankful. I mean, I think, I don't know, somebody tell me out there, are the glider kits still being used? I thought they were working on trying to outlaw glider kits, like changing the rules that it doesn't matter. It used to matter that you could have whatever new vehicle you wanted as long as the engine was old. And now they're telling you can't even do that. You can't put an old engine in a new truck or something like that. I don't know. I remember that most dealerships wouldn't work on gliders. Or if you had a new truck, and let's say that you took it to one of those mechanics that knew how to get rid of that stuff, they wouldn't work on them. The dealerships wouldn't work on them. Or they would keep the truck, and they would not release the truck until you repaired all the modifications you made. And, of course, that caused a lot of money. It says, as proposed by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency in March, the new nitrous oxide emission standards for heavy-duty truck engines will be either a two- or one-step process. The two-step process, option one, would set a stringently increase first in model year 2027 and second increase in the model year 2031. And one-step process would immediately jump into full implementation of the nitrous oxide emission of model year 2027. So they're thinking about either a two-step where everything would kick in 31, but they're also thinking about, well, let's just throw everything in there in 27. It says the 2031 standard under option one would lower truck emissions by 90% compared to current norms, and EPA estimates that the nitrous oxide emissions from the total fleet of heavy-duty trucks on the road in 2045 would decrease by as much as 60%. Option two would achieve less than overall emission reductions than option one, according to the EPA. So what it is the two-step process would be more stringent. You know, just thinking about this just now, nitrous oxide emission standards. I didn't know that was a problem. I mean, I knew that they were like carbon. We said soot, you know, were two different things. And that's what we did with the DPF and all that stuff. Like, we needed to eliminate the soot. We need to eliminate the carbon. And then now we're not trying to eliminate the nitrous oxide. And wonder if it is that because we've eliminated these others, now we have nitrous oxide. We got to get rid of that too. You know, all that kind of stuff. I remember one guy said, eventually they'll have emissions coming out of a vehicle where you could actually take the tailpipe and hook it up to your face and breathe oxygen, breathe air. And, you know, and that's like, it's like, well, you know, I don't know, I guess if you cleaned it up, whatever. And then, but now it's like more and more. So the other day I listened to a lot of these conservative podcasts, and Ben Shapiro is really good. I don't know if you guys ever, he talks really fast. Sometimes people say I talk real fast, but I'm not nearly as thought out and coherent as he is, but he talked about, you know, the whole conservative agenda and about, you know, things that have been thrown in place and all that. And one of them was, you know, the political issues that we've been going through today that have been forefront and everything. And he said it's over the time that it's when the Republicans or conservatives, when they kind of just gave in and said, okay, this is all you want, here, you can have that. And then 5 or 10 years later, you know, they want something else. And so you're like, okay, well, so this is all you want. It's okay. And it goes from one extreme to the other, but it's the same issue. And so the same issue you know, 30 years ago, the same issue was this is all we need. If we just had this one law or one simple change, then everything would be fine. And everybody's like, well, that's no big deal. You can have that. That's fine. And then 5 years, 10 years later, they would like, okay, that's not enough. We need more. And if we just had this one more change, then everything would be fine. And then everybody's like, okay, well, you know, and of course, what it is the culture changes. And as it goes and goes and goes, most Americans were like, well, if that's all it is, you know, so each time this happens, that's all that is. Well, now, if you are still very conservative, very religious, then it becomes extreme. It's very, very extreme. And now they're passing laws to make it very extreme. So it just leads me to correlate this with the whole emissions on big trucks. Because I remember when I first got into the industry, they were sharing videos at the truck driving schools and orientation. They had videos and seminars where they would teach truck drivers what's the difference between an electronic engine and a carburetor engine, a diesel engine. And what I found out that is that just in the late 80s, I mean, it hadn't even been that long, that the government mandated that all diesel engines had to be electronic, that there were still drivers out there running around with old carburetor diesel engines because they liked the whole winding of the turbo and get in that. Those are the ones where you see them, they're doing like 80 miles an hour right before the uphill because they needed to get going because the turbo wouldn't kick in unless you were getting at a higher RPM or whatever. But in electronic engines, you know, everything's instant. And as soon as the engine feels the pull kick in itself, you know, it'll do everything itself. So electronic turned out to be pretty good. Okay. And that's fine. It's a little more expensive to work on, but that's fine. So then when it came down to start doing the whole emission stuff, so I think it was like 2007, 2004. Yeah, 2004. You know, right around the early 2000s when they started talking about it, they started talking about emissions. And they said, well, what we need to do is we need to get rid of all the soot. And if we just had this one system in place in the engine to where we could recirculate the soot, the exhaust, back into the engine, and that way it would burn off a lot of that soot. And, of course, that's the electronic, engine gas recirculation or whatever, is the EGR valve. And basically what that did is it had a little pipe going back over the top of the engine, and it went and it took the exhaust and it ran it back through it. It was only partial of the exhaust. It wasn't even all of it. It was just partial of it. And they were just trying to say, just take a little bit more at a time and just put it back through the engine. And of course that was harming the engines. So then they had to change other stuff so the engine would last longer, you know, and all that stuff. But they said, you know what? That's not enough. What we need to do is we need to put a filter, a special muffler that would actually take fuel and heat and burn off the particulates. And that was another deal, you know, soot, carbon, carbon is the particulates or whatever, but we need something to burn that off. So we're going to do that. We're going to actually put an injector, like a spark plug, in the muffler and squirt diesel into the exhaust and burn it while the exhaust is going so that it would burn off that soot. And there would be a filter in the engine, in the muffler, that would trap all the soot. And, of course, everybody knew that if you had an exhaust that had a full restriction like that, that hurts the engine too. The engine doesn't like that. So they had, that's not good. We need to come to something else. So they go, well, now we're going to do the SCR or the DEF fluid is going to use it to, you know, and now if you look at the mufflers in the big trucks, it's like, you know, you got the battery box on one side of the truck and then your muffler on the other side of the truck. That's like this whole an extra mechanism that sends all the stuff through it. And it's got these little tubes and pipes and electric wires and everything hooking up to it. And that's your exhaust. You know, that's your exhaust system, the SCR DEF system. And it's like, when's it going to stop? When's it going to be enough? And it looks right here, this announcement right here, there's never enough. And it's just creating more and more problems. So it's one of those things is you give them an inch and they're going to take a mile. And it's just, you know, might as well just, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't. And the whole article is about the cost. You know, because the costs, if you ask the trucking industry, the people that run the trucks, the cost overwhelmingly outweighs the benefits. It says because it says trucking, cost outweigh benefits. Because transportation-related nitrous oxide emissions are a major contributor to air pollution, the Biden administration estimates that the rule could provide as much as $250 billion in public health benefits. But the trucking industry maintains those benefits would be outweighed by other costs if the rule proposed is finalized, based on the comments filed after the proposed was announced in March. Again, here is another thing. You know, when does it get announced? Who announces it? Because I never heard anything, you know. It says if the proposed rule, either option is adopted, many of most carriers and truckers will opt to keep the vehicles they have for longer than otherwise would have, stated David Owen, president of National Association of Small Trucking Companies, NASTIC, whose members own an average of 10 trucks. And that's true. They'll just keep them longer. And like I said, most of them have already modified their fleet to go back to old trucks, and they're going to keep those old trucks. And of course, if you're a company driver, the last thing you want is an old truck. And that's why gliders were popular. You know, there's a lot of those carriers that had like 10 or 20 trucks. They were buying gliders because the driver wanted a new truck. They wanted an old engine. And they probably can't do that no more. I haven't heard anything on that for a while. I might do some more research on that. But yeah, you know, that's just the way it is. So I lost it. Where's that article? There it is. It says small business truckers in general cannot afford to buy brand new power units, which today cost around $140,000. New vehicles complying with the proposed rule of the manufacturer year 27 will cost significantly more. So you're looking at, you know, $150,000, $160,000, $170,000 for a new truck. Yep. And you think they're going to last 10 years? That's what a loan will go. A loan will have to go 10 years. So yeah. Crazy stuff. But that's just other news going on out there. And then that's pretty much it as far as worldwide. There's been some crashes, especially winter. The winter has been heavy on it. So we got to watch out for the winter weather out there. And, of course, bad weather in Louisiana and Tennessee, Mississippi. Those areas have been hit pretty hard. So everybody stay safe out there and stay, you know, do your diligence and look out for the weather. That's about it there. The weekend's coming up. Tomorrow, I'll be heading over to the Veterans Cemetery here in the local area, and they're laying the Christmas wreaths, and it's an HEB truck. Found out that the Harley dealership is going to get some bikes together, and they're going to run over there to where the truck is, and they're going to escort it or help escort it over to the cemetery. So that might be interesting. Might check some of that out and get some video of that if I can. But, you know, stuff like that's good stuff to participate. You know, get in there with your local government or local charities and all that and help out. And it's always fun. So you know, check your local listings for stuff like that and do a search for it. But if you've got a veteran cemetery in your area, they're doing that. They're doing it this weekend, or they've already done it, or they're leading up to it. Because, you know, it used to be it was just the one, you know, Arlington Cemetery. Well, now it's every veteran cemetery gets a load of wreaths where they can lay them down at each grave. And it's a pretty cool sight. And a lot of people get together, and it's a lot of fun. So check that out in your local area. But other than that, I get my days off. I'm going to probably be out of town Friday the 23rd, and, of course, all weekend, and then come back. We should have a show on the 26th. Shouldn't be any problems having a show on the 26th. That should be all right. We should be able to do that. We'll be here on the 26th coming back. And then, of course, Friday. Yeah, Friday is work day. So, yeah, because New Year's is on a Sunday. And I'll have that Monday off. And so I don't know yet if I'll be back for that day, but it'll be a day off for me, but I could be out of town, could not be, the way New Year's works for me is it's football, whatever going on for football. That's what we do. We watch football. and of course there's a lot of stuff going on. Saturday is New Year's Eve. So that'd be a lot of fun. Check that out. And, come down the end of the year and then 2023, here we come. So, if you're excited, give us a holler. This is Redneck and I's Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can give us a holler at 515-602-9731. And we're also on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, and Twitter. We appreciate everybody following along on those ordeals. You know, normally we just kind of get out to the truck shows, fix some food, and have a little fun. And we kind of threw a wrench into that this last year. We used to just go to the Mid-America Truck Show. There, the one in Louisville, they don't want us there, so we're not going to be there anymore. And other than that, it's just the way it is. So we'll see about getting somewhere. I hung out at the Texas Truck Show in Houston last July, and that was a lot of fun. So met a lot of cool people, stuff like that. So check that out. Anyway, like I said, keep giving us a holler, keep us in the loop. And that's you can call in here, 515-602-9731. Like I said, every weekday, 5 p.m. Eastern or 7 p.m. Eastern time. And we're also on YouTube Live and sometimes on Facebook. So we love to hear what people got to think and let us know what you think about what we got, what we're talking about. Or if you want to talk about something, just let us know. Call us in. Let us know. We appreciate everybody's support on that. And let's see what else I got going on. Yeah, that's about it for me. Good thing I'm paying attention. I was fixing to hit play on the music and it's not hooked to the right deal, so it wasn't going to be fun. So yeah, just like I said, I think we're gonna call it a day here and play us on out. But I appreciate everybody's support this week and keep it going throughout the next couple of weeks to the end of the year. And we appreciate everybody's support of that. And like I said, this has been Redneck and I's Radio, and everybody's been having a lot of fun.
Loud thunder, heavy rain.
There you go. So I appreciate everybody's support and just have a lot of fun out there this weekend. It's time to get started, be spending with family and. Just stay safe. Watch out for the bad weather and everything like that. We appreciate everybody doing that and staying it, staying with the trucking industry, keeping up with everything what's going on. And like I said, if you got anything you want to talk about, let us know. You can even give us a holler. We got email and everything on our website, redneckandeyes.com. You'll find links to all of our social media accounts on there, especially our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody subscribing to that. And you can check out all of our sponsors. And one of the great sponsors I'd like to mention is DPF Regeneration. Those guys have been great to us. Even before we became who we are now, DPF Regeneration has always been with us. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. Those are the guys that take care of your particulate filter cleaning is what we're just talking about, right? But just, like I said, appreciate all their support. And they're the ones that will take care of you. If you've got any knowledge, you go look them up. And if you got any problems, you need some questions answered and all that, you can give them a holler. dpfregeneration.com. We appreciate all the support of Redneck and I's. So, you guys stay safe, stay successful out there, keep between the ditches, and we'll see you guys next week out on the road.
What we see is always rolling. It don't stop rolling. I haven't slept in 3 damn days. You have a tune that anyway. Wow. Thunder, heavy rain, fell on clean joy. It's all insane. You ain't never gonna be the same. Live a life through the night. Dead line of the light never strikes. It's sometimes the only light when the moon is tucked away.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandi's.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneck and I's.